Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Well, it would appear the war on free speech is over. It has been won, most decisively by the technocrats who run Facebook, Google, and Twitter. Everyone from a lame duck president to pundits, cartoonists, basically anyone with a sizable following and opinions that conflict with those of Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and Sundar Pichai of Google, which owns YouTube. They've been deplatformed. That's a bullshit word. Their word. So let's use honest words, huh? Vast numbers of people are being silenced, muzzled, gagged, and canceled. Even corporations that startup Twitter alternative Parler was knocked offline by Amazon. Seems they didn't agree with what people were saying on Parler. So Amazon pulled their plug. Parler made the same mistake millions of people are now making. Parler thought, hey, we're just a startup. We don't need to source our own servers and take precautions against being crushed and knocked offline. We're small potatoes. We're under their radar. But they weren't, were they? Among the silenced, or the soon-to-be silenced, conversations tend to veer or center around how to circumnavigate Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, finding alternative social networks and search engines and video hosting platforms where free speech can flourish, using browsers that don't track your every click, learning how to rip the Google tentacles out of a phone, block its invasive surveillance software. People who aren't paying close attention hear these phrases, and often they scoff, but they have no idea how dangerous their ignorance is. Cell phones are electronic leashes and ledgers, right? They tell the world where you go, who you know, who you talk with, and of course what you say. It's also listening when you think it's not. I was recently served up an ad for an air fryer, moments after mentioning air fryers in conversation with friends. I never physically typed the words air fryer into any search engine. Cell phones enable the Chinese Communist Party to exert a death grip of control on their people with their social credit system, where every aspect of your life and speech is monitored, and if you don't meet the party's demands, they cut you off from travel. On buses, trains, planes, from financial services, from anything they damn please, because government owns and runs everything. We're pretty much at that place right now in this country. It's not coming. It's here. Cancel culture is American culture, and all others have become subordinate to it. Now tens of millions of people, people who have jobs and own homes and businesses and pay taxes and raise kids and have no criminal records and cause no one any trouble, they now speak with great caution and behave as would criminals, criminals who were trying to evade detection, to render themselves invisible, not from cops but from thought and speech police, from social media platforms, and at work and school. One wrong word or phrase can get you fired, expelled, dumped by your bank, cut off by MasterCard or Visa. It's happening all the time, and not just to big game people like presidents. Airlines are denying passengers travel because they hold the wrong political opinions. Some asshole pilot for American Airlines threatened to ditch a plane in the middle of nowhere because he didn't like the conversation among a group of passengers. And instead of firing that asshole, did I call him an asshole? Yeah, he's an asshole. Wish I knew his name so I could say, hey, asshole, here's your name. The airline backed that asshole up. Holy shit. This is grotesque. Millions and millions of Americans now live in some bizarre netherworld, where the major parts of their lives have been driven underground. We live this speakeasy life, but that's really not the best name for it. Speakeasies Those evoke imagery of parties and flappers and fun and booze. No, this isn't speakeasy life. People had a choice with speakeasies. Maybe they'd visit one, have a drink or two. The rest of their lives were lived normally, but now lives, especially here in Los Angeles, are lived underground. Recently, I got a haircut at the same place I've been getting my haircut for maybe 15 years. Getting a haircut there has always been kind of a treat. I know the owners, I know several of the people that work there, their kids went to school with my kids, that kind of thing. The place always had a party atmosphere. It was a gold mine. Many chairs and stylists doing their thing with comb and scissors. Plenty of pointy women. There was music, there were often snacks, and always a fantastic, fun vibe. So I texted my friend in the morning, as I usually do, and he answered to come over at 4 p.m. I parked in the back, and a big sign on the door said, "Closed." I thought, this can't be right. So I tried the door, and it opened, and I thought, shit, maybe they are closed because it was really dark inside. But in the distance, I saw a ceiling light over a solitary chair, and there was my friend, whom I'll call Alan, masked up and cutting some dude's hair, who was also masked. I walked inside, and Alan, who would always bear hug me, or at the very least, shake hands, well, he barely nodded at me. I took a seat and looked around. The front windows were covered with brown wrapping paper. All the interior lights were off except the one over the solitary customer in that chair. It looked like an interrogation scene from some 1940s detective movie. At least a dozen other chairs were empty and dark. Never has there ever been more than one vacant chair in that place. After a while, Alan finished up and I was next in the chair. And for the first time in 15 years, and that's a lot of haircuts, there were no jokes, no banter, no funny stories. I asked him how business was surviving, and he said, it wasn't. They were going under. All his haircutters had been sent home. He was looking at leasing space in Nevada, maybe Arizona, and making a fresh start there. I would guess Alan is in his mid to late 60s. Why the fuck should anyone be forced to abandon a business they built from scratch? Haircutting isn't selling sausage or tires. It's not a commodity. Their client base is built through skill and personality and by word of mouth from satisfied customers. How's Alan gonna pull that off in Phoenix or Vegas or anywhere? Southern California, in particular Los Angeles, has, as of this moment, the worst China virus situation, not just in the U.S., but in the entire world. Yet, California has had the most severe measures to stop the spread right from the start. Mask mandates and endless lockdowns. The current one is open-ended, indefinite. My kids haven't seen the inside of a classroom in almost a year. Clearly, nothing Los Angeles has done has worked. So what do fuckball politicians, from the governor to the mayor, say? Let's do the same ineffective, stupid shit. Just do it more. Do it again. Maybe it'll work this time. For the first time ever, I had a mostly silent haircut. It was eerie. It was sad. As I paid Alan, I suggested he put a lock and a peephole on his back door and initiate a password system, because there's always a snitch out there somewhere. I saw this shit coming a long time ago, as others have. I did an entire episode about it, Planet Snitch. That's in the August 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. And it's not just hair salons operating in the shadows. A number of bars and restaurants are, and they are using passwords and peepholes. We now have a nation paralyzed with fear, and not just of a virus manufactured as a bioweapon in a lab in Wuhan, China. Fear of misgendering, fear of using the wrong pronoun, fear of saying Merry Christmas, fear of not wearing a mask, or maybe just wearing the wrong mask. Now gaiters are bad masks. Some experts are demanding double masking. Everyone's supposed to creep through life like a fucking leper, trying to stay out of reach of a virus, but within the boundaries of speech and behavior guidelines. Guidelines dictated by whom? Scumbag politicians and officials, that's who, some of whom were elected and many of whom were appointed by those who were elected. Elected by as little as 20% of the citizens. If you want to win an election in LA, all you have to do is run. Nobody gives a fuck here. And how did such cretins come to wield such tremendous power? Well, by getting organized, by gaming the system, and most importantly, by lying through the use of deceptive language. So who are they? Well, they're ASTCOs, that's who. No, I did not just mispronounce the word assholes. The word I used is an acronym, A-S-T-C-O. And I'll tell you what it means in a moment. You first met ASTCOs in school. They had no talent. They weren't particularly smart either. They couldn't sink a basket or pick a guitar or draw a picture or tell a joke or write a poem or even help you with your homework. And then they realized that people who could do those things usually had full lives and plenty of friends. Their talents and magnetism kept them busy living life. So naturally, the life livers weren't paying attention. They really didn't give a shit who was running student government because student government was a joke. It had no real power, and it was basically a club for losers, for ASTCOs. But those ASTCOs figured out that most people don't care, vote, or even take notice, and all they needed to do was convince a few people to vote for them, and presto, they could be somebody and get some power and tell other people what to do. Well, all those ASTCOs grew up, and they became politicians and activists and organizers. And they found friends among other ASTCOs who were also talentless, but enjoyed telling others what to do and say and think, and now what to tweet and post, and so much more. America is not divided by political ideologies. It's shattered by them. There are endless fronts and combinations and splinter groups. It's too complex to get your arms around. America should do away with the conventional parties. Democrat and Republican and liberal and conservative, they have no meaning anymore because each has become so distorted and diluted and with spill out from one to another. Once upon a time, liberals were kind of cool. They were into live and let live and do your own thing. Now, they lead the charge for conformity and authoritarianism. What's liberal about that? America should be reorganized into three basic groups. One, the willfully ignorant. They don't give a shit who runs the show or what happens, as long as they get an uninterrupted stream of junk food and porn. We'll call them the idgaffs, of course, the I don't give a fucks. Next, we have the LUTFAs. Leave us the fuck alone. LUTFAs founded America. They built it. When those pilgrims came over from Europe, they'd had a belly full of government getting up in their shit, so they voted with their feet. And word quickly got back to the rest of Europe as wave after wave of other LUTFAs came here seeking the freedom to be left the fuck alone. Whether it was the Irish fleeing the persecution of the British, that's how I got here, or Italians escaping the caste and class system of Italy, or Southeast Asians literally running for their lives from commie regimes, all those people rejecting tyranny everywhere in the world, whether they know it or not, belong to the LUTFA party. As well as millions of Americans who've been here for decades and decades of every race and economic level. Members of the third party, those who are neither IDGAFs or LUTFAs, well, they call themselves by many names, progressives, democratic socialists, Antifa, but their real name is ASTCOs. ASTCO stands for Assholes Seeking to Control Others. Doesn't matter what ideology they espouse, that's what they're after. And it never, ever ends well, because most people, even the IDGAFs, eventually discover that they really don't like being controlled. And then the ASTCOs, well, they discover that the only way to fully control people is to kill people. And so that German ASTCO killed 6 million. And the Russian ASTCO, little Joey Stalin, he killed 20 or 30 million. And the Chinese ASTCO, Mao, well, he had about 60 million killed. Sometimes ASTCOs have no political agenda. It's simply the sexual thrill, and I do mean sexual, they get from imposing their will on others. That's what drives their lust for power. All these ASTCOs who want free speech banned are remarkably similar to another group that fucked up America in the last century, prohibitionists. They were a group of ideologues, crusaders, with fire in their bellies and shit in their skulls, who were certain that alcohol was the cause of all of America's problems. Ooh, they had research, they had studies, they had experts. Oh, did they have experts? Expert doctors, lawyers, professors, and scientists. And all those experts had proof, that once alcohol was banned, America would be transformed. Ooh, that's one of their favorite words, transformed into paradise. The absence of alcohol would make us richer, healthier, safer, with less crime and violence. Why, that huckster, dancing preacher, clown, Billy Sunday, gotta love that name, Billy Sunday, he flat out guaranteed that, quote, "The reign of tears was over. The slums will soon be a memory. We will turn prisons into factories and jails into storehouses." Didn't quite work out that way. Once those ASTCOs decided America should be a dry nation, the first thing they did was fabricate an ocean of lies, beginning with their name, using words many would not understand, and that would not alarm those who were not paying attention. So, first, they grabbed a hunk of Jesus, called themselves Christian. Next, women. Yeah, the weaker sex, right? Next, a mystery word, temperance. What the fuck does that mean? Well, if anyone was curious and looked it up, they'd see it meant moderation. That's a nice, soft word, right? Not scary at all. And the last word, union. At the time, unions were really getting traction and seemed to be a good thing, making sure labor didn't get screwed over by management. And so few ever suspected that the Christian Women's Temperance Union was actually a gang of psychotic, vile assholes who would damn near destroy America. And the effects of their madness are still fucking up America to this day, nearly a century after they forced their will on others. You like wiretapping? You like a monstrous IRS? A metastasized FBI? Well, they all came to you courtesy of the ASTCOs of Prohibition. Prohibitionists were the midwives who birthed organized crime in America. Before them, Al Capone was a penniless bouncer at a Coney Island juke joint. After a few years of temperance, Big Al was making $60 million a year. Prohibition took away the livelihoods of honest owners of taverns and handed it to criminals who created speakeasies. And then they added gambling and prostitution to the menu of beer, pretzels, and whiskey. During the 10 years of Prohibition, the national murder rate jumped 78%. Corruption skyrocketed as criminals put cops and judges and DAs on the payroll. It was a bloodbath, and it wasn't just the gangsters machine-gunning each other over turf. Bootleggers, well, those guys tried to meet demand, so they mixed up batches of booze. It was just flavored industrial alcohol, nasty stuff, never meant to be ingested. Well, thousands of drinkers went blind from that stuff. Then government flashed on a bigger idea. Let's force industrial manufacturers to make their alcohol really, really lethal. And when scofflaws drink that poison and wind up dead, well, that'll be a deterrent. That'll teach them. Word didn't get around as fast as the poisoned fake liquor. Death estimates ran as high as 10,000. Government ASCOs and corporate ASCOs, they're coming for you. What's the answer? I wish I knew. If you've got one, let me know. Drop me a line at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. For more content and commentary, stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com. And while you're there, click a subscribe button. Apple, Stitcher, whatever. There's no cost. And that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you really like what you heard, click the Patreon button and help support the show. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Plug That Larry Show into the search bar and you'll find us. For now. I'm also on Gab. It's gab.com. It's another social network they say is bulletproof. I hope they're right. Wherever you are and whoever you are, don't give another inch to those fucking ASCOs. They're as poison as government moonshine. I'll see you next Wednesday. And until that time, take no shit.